In the late 60s, Paul McCartney was struggling. The Beatles were having difficulties as a group. They were burned out. They couldn't get along with each other. And Paul was trying hard to kind of pull this band together, keep that music machine going. But the stress, the pressure was getting to him. One night he fell asleep, and his mother Mary, who had actually died about 10 years earlier, came to him in a dream. And his mom said to him, "Just let it be." Paul said his mother was telling him to just let go of all that stress, you know, all that problems and turmoil. Just let it go. She was not wanting to feel this pressure to deal with all this stress and just give up control, you know, just let it go. He needed to accept that life was just this way right now. He needed to let it be. So in the morning he woke up, he went to the piano, and started writing the song. With words like, "And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be." So this is our fourth and final week of our series, The Gospel According to John, Paul, George, and Ringo. Each week we start this sermon with a popular Beatles song, and we discuss what they were trying to say, and we kind of compare it to what the scriptures say about that same topic. And so far in this series, we've talked about regret, sadness, loneliness. And this being our final week, we're going to address the bigger issue of trouble. It's kind of like a continuation of yesterday's sermon, if you were here for the funeral yesterday. To put it simply, we live in a fallen world, and we are fallen creatures. That means we get hurt. We get hurt by others. We hurt others. We hurt ourselves. We get to all experience the aches and pains of life. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world." We all know too well, don't we, that in this life we will have trouble. Christians are not exempt from that, I'm afraid to tell you. And we know the basic principle that we reap what we sow is true. So the better we can live, you know, the less trouble we'll bring on ourselves. We get that part of it. But unfortunately, even with that truth, there's still plenty of bad seeds that we end up sowing, or we still reap the fruit of seeds that we sowed much earlier in our lives. You know what a bad fruit is to me? It's a raw tomato. I hate raw tomatoes. Now, to me, it's bad enough if you call it a vegetable, but if you say it's a fruit, it's even worse. That's a raw tomato's a fruit? But we still end up throwing raw tomatoes at each other so much in our lives. So let me be clear about this. Being Christian is not a one-way ticket to Disney World. Jesus doesn't give us a fast pass in life, does he? Larry King once asked Billy Graham if he prayed for a trouble-free life. And Billy paused for a moment and he said, over the years he's learned not to pray that prayer. Instead, he's just learned to pray for God's will. And really, to be honest about that, we have a trouble picking between the two, don't we? A trouble-free life or God's will. Let's be honest here. They're not the same necessarily, and they're both tempting in their own ways. Now, God's original plan, of course, with this earth, as we believe the Bible says, is that he created this world to be a lot less painful, a lot less troublesome, you know, and no sin and all that stuff. And so humankind has kind of messed all that up, and we paid the price for it. But we also hold out hope that one day this world is going to be redeemed. And that one day it's going to be closer to that Adam and Eve garden experience. But for now, we know trouble. And people decide every day of their lives how they're going to deal with it, how they're going to face it. And you see people make all types of choices to deal with the brokenness in their lives and the brokenness that is imposed on them from other people. I kind of wonder if there's three groups of people out there. The first group thinks that they can, if they can just put together the right formula, then life can work pretty well. Like, you know, if I sow all the right seeds and I do all the right thing, you know, I have a plan. They have a plan to make life work. Some people, their plan is just to live for the weekends or make enough money so life can be simple and easy. Or if they support the right cause, they can change the world and life will be better. But it all comes down to people who think that if I can put together the plan and the formula, life will be good and easy. Now, the second group of people doesn't think like, they know there's no plan. They know there's no problem. Life does not work at all. You just cannot make it work. So they do things just to cope by, just like, you know, they do things to escape. And there's nothing wrong with a little bit of escape, you know, sports and technology and music and all that. Nothing really wrong with all that. But we can escape to such a degree that we don't, that's the only thing we do is escape. And then some people do escape. They do a little bit more severe things, drugs, alcohol. You know, you even have a few people take their own life because they need to escape. And then there's this last group. This is just the miserable group. The miserable and bitter people group. They have no plan. There's no formula. And basically, I'm not even going to try to escape reality. I'm just going to be miserable the rest of my life. Because there's really no way around it. That's just life is hard. And I don't know what Paul McCartney was facing when he wrote this song. He tried a lot of different routes. He made a lot of money. He tried drugs and alcohol. I don't know where he was at when he wrote Let It Be. Fortunately, at that moment, his mother came to him in a dream. I'd like to think maybe God set that up. I don't know. But let me tell you what we have that's even better than our mother coming to us in a dream. It's our Heavenly Father sending down His Son so that we can know the right path to take in life. Jesus doesn't force us to be on that path, but He does show us the path. But I think it's interesting. John 5:5-6 says this, and it starts out, you'll be confusing, but I'll explain. It says, one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked, do you want to get well? Can you imagine being an invalid for 38 years and Jesus coming up to you and saying, do you want to get well? Duh. Wouldn't you want to say that? Sorry, I don't think that's appropriate. Can you say that to Jesus? But what Jesus is actually saying to him is, do you have already a plan in place? Do you think life works? Are you ready to be shown the way? Because you know what? A lot of people don't really want to know or think they have their own plan. Oh, I'll get there by myself. See, there are many forces fighting against us and fighting against that decision to really be broken before God. Who really wants to admit that they're broken? Who really wants to humble themselves that way? So the first thing that we need to understand is the enemy within us, the enemy we have to deal with in this world, is going to do everything possible to keep you with a sense of false control. You know, if we get just enough pleasure and just another little sense of like purpose. I mean, just give us a taste of it. Then we can say, no, I don't need God. Life is, it's okay. Sometimes, most of the time, well, sometimes. Second of all, submitting to God is a leap of faith. And to jump into that is a bit of a mystery. Like, okay, I'm going to let God take over. I got to give up control. What's God going to do with you? It's scary. What's God going to, you know, the old thing, going to send me to Africa or something like that? That's a little scary. But here's the thing. Even though giving up control kind of goes against our nature, you know what's keeping us in bondage? Control. Control is actually the problem. And we can be tempted to stay with the pain that we know, the pain that we're familiar with, because it gives us a sense of control, rather than choose the freedom of the unknown. Do you remember the story of the Israelites wandering in the desert? Do you remember at some point they were even tempted to go back to Egypt? Slavery, they were tempted to go back to. Rather than trust God with the unknown future that lied ahead for them, that they could not see beyond the desert. That's the reality of our lives, isn't it? We can be so tempted to live in slavery because at least we know it. At least we're familiar with it. And finally, another reason I think we hesitate is because we really wonder deep down if we can trust God with our happiness. If God isn't promising us an easy life, if being a Christian doesn't make our life so much easier, then maybe I can make it easier. And maybe my way works better than God's way. So we don't really know if we want to trust God with our happiness. But here's the thing. C.S. Lewis once wrote this. And again, this is right out of yesterday with Joey Jennings' sermon yesterday. C.S. Lewis once said, no difficulties are not the ideal life. Because you know what? They push us toward comfort and complacency and apathy. You know the worst thing in the world, the worst condition in the world that we can have is apathy. Apathy to me is the opposite of love. Think about that. That's why we're talking this so much about having a heart for the hurting this year. You also so much about our church learning to love people and care for them truly, because apathy is the enemy. We don't want to get there. God wants to teach us to love and to be loved. And when we truly come to grips with our brokenness, we throw out our feeble attempts at a plan. When we are truly tired of feeling sorry for ourselves, or we're stop wanting to be mad at life for giving us such a raw deal, we become needy. And we finally cry out, yes, Lord, I want to be healed. I want to be healed. When we own our brokenness, and when we truly want life to change, God comes to us. See, a lot of people in this world, when life hits them hard, will cry, uncle. But a wise person will cry, Abba, Father. Right? Again, I'm not saying God is the author of all your pain. We've already talked about living in a fallen world with fallen people. But my friends, God wants to use it. Nothing is wasted. So we keep dealing with pain and brokenness in our lives, and we keep making choices of how to respond. And those moments of crisis will either cripple us, and I can think of times in my life where I chose badly and it did cripple me. I chose bitterness, or we can choose to let God use it to grow us. So here's an interesting thing, though. All the Bible reading, all the church going, all the praying, it should help us prepare for that crossroads. But you never know what's going to happen until it happens. Let me explain. Mike Tyson. You know Mike Tyson, famous boxer? Once spit the ear off somebody's. Yeah. So he used to say, yeah, everybody has a plan for how to beat me in the ring. Everybody has a plan. They have a plan until I punch them in the mouth. Then their plan goes away. Right? We don't get to know how we're going to respond to life until we get hit in the mouth by life. and then we'll find out. But if you've spent your life setting yourself up so that your chances are better, and my only advice is, if you cling to Jesus before you get hit, when you get hit, after you get hit, you're likely to respond. You will respond with a way that's going to make you grow and learn and love and be stretched. But if you don't, you will get hit in the mouth and you will become bitter and angry or feel sorry for yourself and become not what you want to become. And we've all made good choices and we've all made bad choices at different times when life has hit us in the mouth. Remember when you get hit in the mouth who you are in Christ. Remember that you are a beloved child of God. And He has a plan for all that pain that you're suffering right now. He can use it if you will let Him. If you want to argue that Jesus is on the side of anybody, you know, Jesus, we always want to say Jesus doesn't play favorites, and that's true. But if you want to make a case for anything that Jesus is on the side of anybody, He is on the side of the broken and the hurting. You go through the scriptures and that's what you see. He loved the people that nobody else would love. He loved the unlovable. And when you discover God's grace in the midst of your hurt, it will start building an abundant life in your soul. And it will bear much fruit. Suffering is a doorway, my friends. It's a fork in the road. Now, no one wants to set up camp there. No one wants to live in the fork in the road, and neither should we. We shouldn't live in the fork in the road. But it's important. It's what we choose at that point is going to determine so much. When we suffer well, we become more like Christ as we journey forward. This actual scripture was read yesterday as well. So Romans 5:3-5 says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has poured into our hearts to the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Even God takes the hard, bitter, worst parts of our life and redeems them. And I realize for some of you this weekend has been one of those moments. And I am grateful to God that this sermon was planned way before any of that was ever known. Thomas Merton, famous theologian, philosopher, he wrote, "My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself, and the fact that I'm following your will does not mean that I'm actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope that desire and all that I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are with me. You will never leave me to face my perils alone." One of the hardest experiences of my life, a few years ago, I went through a time where I was dealing with some sinus issues, dealing some with those anxiety issues, and they combined in a terrible combination, and I went from not sleeping very well to not sleeping at all for days. I was the walking dead in my mind. I would drive and I would turn a corner and I would literally not see the car coming right in front of me. I was afraid I was going to lose my job. I was afraid, you know, no income then for the family. I was scared. I was desperate. And all I could do it in the middle of the night was cry out to God for mercy. It was a pretty picture. And I would be on, and I'd be lying to you if I told you that every moment in that night I was faithful and I trusted God to use all those great, these moments. No, I cannot say that. But I can tell you that it shaped me in a way that I needed to be shaped. Because when you are broken, you must be reshaped. Being reshaped is terribly, terribly hard. But it's truly a beautiful thing. Earlier I read two verses that I want to read again. It says, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You notice that having trouble in this verses here is sandwiched between God giving peace and a declaration that He has overcome the world. So God is saying, yes, I know you're going to have trouble. Yes, and I know it's not going to be fun and it's going to be painful, and I'm not trying to sugarcoat that at all. But you got to know this. I can give you peace. And I have overcome. I overcome. They don't have to destroy us. They don't have to make us bitter. They don't have to take away the peace that God gives, the promise of His power to eventually overcome. I wrote this thing the other day. I hesitate to read it because it's probably pretty silly, but I wrote it because I just wanted to express in a real way what this would mean for me to live this out. I am fighting against the wind today. Broken and hurt is the price I pay. But pain teaches me a song to play. And with each note of hurt, I learn to pray. Lord, help me trust in what You say. And from Your path I will not stray. My hope in You will not be swayed. No matter the hurt, help me to obey as I fight against the wind today. We're going to close here in a moment and invite the worship team to come forward. I want to read a few more words from Let It Be here, because we're going to flow back into that here in a second. And it says, when the brokenhearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer. Let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer. Let it be. There are times in life where God's going to bring you to that painful fork in the road, or that doorway He wants you to walk through. Today might be one of those days, or a day that maybe you've done it in the past, but you need to do it again. If this is that day for you, then let it be. You never know how many more days you will have to declare, let it be, Lord, let it be. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So today we're going to do something different. I've never done this before, might never do it again. But we're actually going to close with this Beatles song as a congregation song. You may not know all the words. They won't be up on the screen. You can sing along. And usually our tradition is to stand and sing, and we'll do that. But if you just want to pray and sit and listen, or you want to come to the altar and be with God, it's time to say, Lord, let it be. Let it be. Let it be Your will in my life, not my own. Let it be Your control, not my own. We can sing this song as an act of declaration. We can sing this song as an act of submission. So I invite you today, let it be. Let it be. I invite you this week to remember what God calls you to do. Lay it down at His feet. If you need any help in that journey, that path, that's what the church is here for. Come ask a pastor. Come talk to one of the leaders of the church. We are here to help you find your way.